Hallelujah. God is about to release great things into your life through the undiluted word you're about to listen to. Pay attention, as this sermon will grant you deeper understanding of God's word. And now, here is the undiluted word.
You won't always get away with foolishness. You won't always get away with foolishness. Matthew 7, 26 to 28. Matthew 7, 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, the problem of this man is attitude. Jesus said, if you hear these things that I teach, and then you refuse to make use of it to form the values of your life, that you are going to be like a foolish man who decided to build a house, but decided to build a house on the sand, not minding that someday in the future, certain weather condition will attack the house. And so he successfully built the house, though very beautiful, but on the sand. And then the wind and the storm came and blew upon the house, and then the house collapsed. And suddenly, a man who used to be a landlord has not just become a tenant, but he has become a tenant with no landlord, no house. And that's what foolishness is. Foolishness is a trait or tendency of acting stupidly or acting rashly. And quite a number of God's children have been acting like that. And most times we get away with it. And because most of the times we get away with certain attitudes, certain actions, we are sometimes tempted to believe that it's okay to behave like that. But God is sounding a note of warning to us that you won't always get away with foolishness. So it pays to be wise. Today, I'm going to mention to us the characters that exhibited foolishness in the scriptures and how they never got away with it. Foolishness is of different kinds. The foolishness has different colors, different shapes and size. But no matter the kind or color that you are currently exhibiting, whether foolishness at 40, 30, 20, 10, or 5, you won't always get away with it. So let us look at the first character. Character number one, Adam. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 12. What was the foolishness of Adam here? The foolishness of listening to his wife over and above God. That's one foolishness we must take care of. The foolishness of listening to your spouse, to your boss, to your friend, even to your pastor, over and above God. That was the foolishness of Adam. You know, sometimes there are men that we treasure in our lives. There are humans that we treasure in our lives. So we hold them at a very high esteem. Sometimes we even respect them more than God. Of course, there are some human beings, unconsciously, they give reference and respect to men more than they will give to God. Or how do we explain it? That if you go to the law court, there are certain things you will not do, but if you come to church, you feel you can do it. Why? Because you are afraid of the judge, so that you will not be sentenced or be guilty of contempt of court. So you need to be quiet. So the foolishness of listening to a man over and above God is a foolishness you may not always, or you will not always, get away with. Are you in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 12? There are people who have placed their pastors above God. So oftentimes you hear people say, this is what Papa said, this is what the bishop said, this is what my pastor said. They have not cared to check it out with what God is saying. I'd like you to understand that God didn't give you a pastor and took away the Holy Spirit from you. Amen. And let me say it, I want you to write it down very, very clearly. The Holy Spirit in you is superior to your pastor. The Holy Spirit of God in you is superior to your pastor. So no matter what I am saying, no matter what I'm going to tell you, there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giving them understanding. So that you won't begin to offend God or go contrary to God just because the pastor said so. Because there are many pastors out there who don't look for God's interest, but for their interest. And you are going to protect your relationship with God with the Holy Spirit that is inside of you. Amen. Is somebody listening to me? I've seen churches practice stuff that you can't find anywhere in the Bible. And then when I see gullible members doing it, I say within my heart, these are men and women who have listened to their pastors and didn't listen to the Holy Ghost. Because Paul said to the people, follow me as I follow Christ. So the extent to which you follow a man of God is the extent to which he is following God. From the day he stops following God, you are obligated to stop following him, to stop listening to him. But let me say to you again that your pastor is not superior to the Holy Ghost. And when God gave you a pastor, he didn't take away his presence from you. So your pastor is not a replacement for God. And so when you meet any man of God who is trying to replace God in your life, you know you have met the wrong one, no matter the title he carries. Because the pastor is not a replacement for God in your life. I can't be God in your life, and I can never be God. Every pastor is a human being, so he's subject to making mistakes. And so that's why every child of God must understand God and know God for himself, so that when your pastor is wrong, you can correct him. Hello. Praise Master Jesus. The foolishness of listening to a man over and above God. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 12, the Bible said that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, you shall not eat of it. Now take note, God has said. Can I say to you again that whatever God has said, no man has the power and the authority to edit it. The Bible said that the scripture is of no private interpretation. Have you seen it in your Bible before? The scripture is of no private interpretation. So I don't have a private interpretation to what has already been written. I hear some pastors are beginning to write their own Bibles. I've not taken time to read some of the things they have written. But I just hope that everything they are writing in order to make the understanding of it much more easier for the reader. But I fear that the way some people are going in the name of men of God, they will begin to add certain things. And I fear for the Christians of today, who only know God by proxy. I fear for the believers of today, who don't want to step a little bit further and say, let me know God for myself. I fear for such believers, because a lot of persons will go to hell, not because they wanted to, but because somebody led them wrongly. The Bible said the Berean brethren were more honorable, because every time they returned from church, they checked the scripture to confirm whether the things they were told in church are actually the same thing in the scriptures. Amen. Are we here today? That's not to say that you don't have need for pastor. In fact, you have need for your pastor. But you must do due diligence to ensure that that man is following God. And here, he said, God have said we shall not eat of it, neither shall we touch it, lest we die. Verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. I don't have so much concern with the conversation of the devil. But if you know God enough, you'll be able to dictate when Satan is talking. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. Now this is where the foolishness comes in. We can't stop the devil from talking, but we can decide what to do with what he's saying. Just like God will not push anybody's hand to do what is good, the devil will not push anybody's hand to do what is evil. The devil comes and tries to appeal to you. The devil comes and tries to tell you why you should do it. And then God comes and tells you why you shouldn't do it. And then you are left with a choice. Should I? Should I not? And then the Bible said, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat. Praise God. Now the rest of the story, we know it. Let's end it there. She gave to the husband. And I'm sure that when the man came, the woman gave him the fruit. Adam knew from the word go that this fruit is the one we were asked not to eat. But you know, the woman had convinced him that, my dear, I ate it all and I didn't die anything. Praise God. I ate it before you came back. In fact, I'm still alive. And then the man ate. The foolishness of listening to your spouse over and above God. Here, Adam is seen as behaving foolishly. He had a standing order from God not to touch, let alone eat. But he threw caution to the winds and took the forbidden fruit from his wife and ate. Of course, we know he never got away with it. Now, there are certain things that are far beyond the relationship between you and your wife or you and your spouse. When I was to get married, I had a discussion with my wife about a few subjects. But one of the things I said to her, I said, there is one thing that love and marriage cannot stand in between, and that is our love for God. It can't stand in between it. That is our obedience. I'm going to obey God even at the cost of my marriage. So you just have to know that there's no competition in that area. So you're not going to say, well, I'm your wife, well, I'm your husband, you need to listen to me. If God is saying this, if God says I should not sleep in the house for 7 days, no matter how you want me around, I'm not going to be there. That's what I'm talking about. If he says I should not be around house for 7 days, no matter how you want me to be around, I'm not going to be around. So you just need to understand that the only thing that can come between you and I is divine instruction, is God. So that we understand that there are certain things we don't need to compromise. Adam just took the fruit and ate the fruit. And you know what happened? God showed up. And when God showed up, he said to Adam, because you have listened to your wife. Because you have listened to your wife. Shouldn't I listen to my wife? Yes, you should listen to your wife, but not against God. Shouldn't I listen to my husband? Yes, you should listen to your husband, but not when it is against God. My brother, if God said to you, and you heard it very clearly, by tomorrow morning as you are coming, get me 50,000, so 50,000. You know the way you hear from God. You know it, and you are too sure. And then you discuss it with your wife, and she says, let's not sow that seed anything. We have school fees to pay. We have house rent to pay. And then you begin to think that your wife has a point. You are already putting your leg in the fire that will get you burnt. Have you ever wondered why Abraham didn't have to discuss with Sarah? God said to Abraham, carry your son, your only son, the one whom thou lovest, bring him to the mountain I'm going to show you, and there sacrifice him for me. And the Bible said Abraham rose up very early in the morning. He didn't care to discuss it with Sarah. Why? Because there are certain divine instructions that if you bring emotions in, you are going to be delayed. And Abraham said, I'm not going to discuss with my wife. When I come back, we'll talk about it. Let me obey God first. Praise God. Let me just obey God first, and maybe when I come back, I will explain to her. So, you must not toil with the instruction of God. The foolishness of listening to a man over and above God. The foolishness of saying, well, since he is my boss, well, since he's my wife, well, since he's my senior partner, well, since he's my this and that, let me just listen to him. That's the foolishness you must avoid. Adam never got away from it. The question is, how far have you gone against God's standing order for your life? How far have you gone against God's standing order for your business? How far have you gone against God's standing order for your finances, for your marriage, for your relationships and your ministry? You need to retrace now before it becomes too late. The foolishness of listening to people over and above God. Seek to hear what God is saying in the matter. And hold on to what God is saying. Because that is the anchor that keeps the soul. Praise God. It is what God is saying. It's what God has said in the matter. That is what is going to matter in the end. It's not what the expert is saying. I've said this to us before. If God have not spoken, listen to the word of an expert. But as soon as God speaks, jettison whatever any expert will say. But if God has not spoken, and your doctor said to you, you need to be in the hospital for complete 3 weeks for us to have a proper check on you, and you are prayed and God has not said, leave the hospital, please stick with what the experts have said. Stay in the hospital. But as while you are staying, and God said, leave this hospital today, forget about what the doctor have said and leave. Did you hear that? Amen. There is always a place for expert opinion. In Acts chapter 27 and chapter 28, they were traveling. They were taking Paul to Rome. And then God spoke to him and said that this voyage is going to be with so much great danger. And so Paul rose up and spoke the mind of God to the people. But the sailor, the captain, who was in charge of the boat, who was in charge of the ship, he said to Paul, keep quiet. Who are you? Do you even know what it means to navigate the sea? Have you entered the cabin crew before? Keep quiet. And Paul kept quiet. And they proceeded on the journey. Somewhere in the middle of nowhere, everything started happening. And Paul said to them, you would have listened to me. You would have listened to me. So sometimes an expert will speak. If God has not spoken contrary to what the expert have said, go with the expert. But as soon as you hear God, it doesn't matter what the expert has to say. Tell the expert, I like your advice, but I'm going to hold to what God said. I think I've shared with us how a doctor testified, a Christian doctor. He was to carry out an operation on a pregnant woman. The woman was to undergo CS, a C-section. And the man said, by their training as doctors, there is a particular way you must do a C-section. You don't just use the knife and cut anywhere. There's a particular way that the C-section must be carried out. But right inside the theater, the Holy Spirit said to him, don't cut that woman that way. Cut that woman the opposite way. Can you imagine cutting somebody against medical practice? By medical practice, you don't cut that way. But the Holy Ghost in him said to him, cut out the other way. And because he knows the voice of the Holy Ghost, he cut the woman the other way. And he said when he opened that woman up, he saw that all the woman's intestine had backed to the other side. So any drop of the knife would have cut open the intestine. And rather than save life, you would just kill the woman. And do you know many persons have died like that in the theater? Amen. And you know that Satan can make a good doctor to be careless in 1 minute. Just to get your life in the grave. A professional doctor, very careful doctor, can lose his mind just in 1 minute and forget a scissors inside your system. And what sickness didn't do in you, the scissors will do it in you. But God, who is the manufacturer, the creator of a normal human being, said to the doctor, I am the owner of that woman. I position all the intestine. Before there was a doctor on the earth, there was a God who made man on the earth. Cut her the other side. And she knew the voice of God and opened her the other side and saved that woman. Praise God. He would have listened to the voice of profession and would have killed somebody's wife, somebody's mother maybe. So we must be careful that when God speaks, we stand for what he says. This is where God is taking me to. This is where God is leading me to. Don't listen to the voice of a mother over the voice of God. You want to settle down in marriage? And God have told you, this is the woman I want you to settle down with. This is the man I want you to settle down with. Simply because your mother doesn't like men from that tribe. And she's telling you, no, you can't marry him. Simply because your parents don't like women from that tribe. And they are saying, no, you can't marry him. And you have heard from God. And let me say this, by the way. Don't say, I love him. The first marriage in the Bible didn't start with love. The first marriage started with divine direction. And I'm sure that every marriage that will please God also follows that pattern. You follow the voice of God to get to where God wants you to be, and then you begin to love it. So don't say, but I don't love him. You don't have to love him. You don't have to love her. But if God is saying, that is the person I want for you, just go there and then tell God, help me to love him. And you'll be able to love him. Because it is possible to love what God does not want for you. It's possible to love what is wrong. And so if you follow love, you are likely going to get it wrong. But if you follow God, you won't get it wrong. Another character that exhibited foolishness and never got away with it is the man I call Esau. And what is the foolishness he exhibited? The foolishness of exchanging what is priceless for what money can buy. And there are a lot of children of God who are exhibiting and displaying such foolishness. The foolishness of exchanging what is precious for what is expensive. There's a difference between what is expensive and what is precious. Something may be expensive, but it's not precious. Something may be very precious, but it's not expensive. So you must learn and know what is that precious thing. So you don't exchange it for what money can buy. You don't give away what money cannot buy for what money can buy. For instance, when a woman loses her virginity, she has lost it once and for all. Praise God. You can't buy it with money. When you lost it, you have lost it. If Mary didn't have it, she wouldn't have qualified to be the mother of Jesus. And today, a lot of women, including believers, are exchanging virginity for a bottle of perfume. Virginity for 1 year house rent. Virginity for 50,000 in your bank account. Virginity for iPhone. And after you do that, 2 weeks after, they steal it from you. You can't exchange what money cannot buy for what money can buy. The both of them don't have the same price. Ask any woman who married their husband as a virgin, is always a bride to her. Praise God. It's always the husband will say, I'm married as a virgin. She can hold on to it to God and say, God, I kept myself until I met him. At that particular point, there are certain things you can get from heaven by that. So you don't just let it go for nothing. Ahab said to Naboth, and you give me this your vineyard, and I will give you money, any amount you want. And Nabot said, this vineyard cannot go for any amount you are willing to offer. Why? Because this is the inheritance of my fathers. And Ahab said to Nabot, okay, let me give you another vineyard, something more beautiful, something closer to you, because your own vineyard is closer to me, more than it is closer to you. Can I give you something closer to your house? And take this one. And Nabot said, even at the cost of my life, I'm going to keep it. They give it to me, and I intend to give it to others. There are certain things that actually don't have money value in life. And child of God, you must learn it. Certain things actually have no money value. Your soul is not worth any dollar, any pound, any naira, your soul. That's why Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his soul in hell? And I said to us before that when you see the devil give people wealth, the devil does not have wealth. The devil does not have money. Everything on this earth, the Bible says, God has given it to the sons of men. What the devil does, he knows you'll be wealthy in the future. So he enters into your future and bring the wealth that was originally designed for you and give it to you in exchange for your life. So when he gives you wealth, he takes your future. Nobody ever received money from the devil and lived long. Have you seen anybody? Praise God. He can build all the houses in the world. But yet, most of those houses, they can't even enter inside. What the devil does is shortchange you. He said, take what you are supposed to have tomorrow and give me your tomorrow. Because he knows that if a man has tomorrow, a man can make decisions. It is only a man that has a future that can create history. It's only a man that has a future that can make adjustments. But if you have no future, you are just where you are. Esau, exchange what money couldn't buy for something money could buy. Genesis chapter 25, verse 29. One day Jacob was cooking a stew. At least we know what stew is. Esau came in from the field, starved, hungry. Esau said to Jacob, give me some of that red stew. I am starved. That's how it came to be called Edom. Red. Jacob said, make me a trade, my stew for your right as the firstborn. Esau said, I am starving. What good is a bad right if I am dead? Jacob said, first, swear to me. And he did, on oath. Esau traded away his right as the firstborn. Jacob gave him bread and the stew of lentils. Hear me. Esau was asking for stew. But when he gave Jacob the priceless, Jacob added bread to it. Amen. When he gave Jacob the priceless, what you can't value in the market. Jacob said, you wanted stew. Maybe he came with some meat. He would have added the meat. Jacob said, let me add bread to you. He ate and drank, got up and left. That is how Esau shrugged off his right as the firstborn on one plate of food. Some of us, we have finished our relationship with God in Shandis. Praise God. End with just one night shopping. That is how Esau ate and drank and got up and left. After all, there's nothing there. Shrug off his birthright as the first son. When he did that, it didn't look like anything happened until few years after, when he stood face to face with reality. He couldn't call back the hand of the clock. Many today are exhibiting this kind of foolishness and losing out on great substance. The devil believes that everyone has a price tag. So he comes to offer you what he feels you cannot say no to. But you must have the resolve of Nabot not to ever give away what money cannot buy for money. Praise the Lord. You know, the devil believes that everybody has a price tag. There is something I will offer him or her. And he can't say no. But I'd like you to love God and serve God to the point that you'll be able to say, God is more than enough for me. I can say no to my boss's advances and decide to remain in the same position of his junior staff until God lifts me up, rather than give in to what he wants and then be promoted, and yet I lose my peace forever. I lose my confidence. You see, every time we sin against God, it breaks our confidence. Praise God. Every time we exhibit this kind of foolishness, you don't get away with it. Ask Adam. He didn't get away. Ask Esau. He ate the stew and the bread and drank wine and then he left. Everything was looking like, well. Nobody knows about it. Everything is still okay. We still come to church. We clap our hands, lift up our hands. We sing, we dance together. But a day is coming where that transaction that you did 2 years ago will stand there in your front as the reason why you cannot cross over. And at that time, you may not be able to do anything about it. You just have to remain at the same spot. Don't exchange money for what money cannot buy. Check the things that are precious in your life. What are those things? First, your relationship with God is priceless. Don't exchange it for a job. Your relationship with God. Don't exchange it for a relationship with men. Don't exchange it for a relationship with women. Solomon exchanged his relationship with God for women and lost everything that David fought for. So, don't do that foolishness. Treasure whatever does not have a price tag. Because many times, what does not have a price tag is better than what has a price tag. Praise the Lord.
Beloved, thank you for taking time to listen to God's word. We trust you've been blessed. This message was brought to you by Pentecostal Deliverance Church, located at 65 Stadium Road, opposite Mummy B Junction, Rumomasi, Port Harcourt. You can get our Sincere Milk Devotional and Believer's Training Class Manual and other inspiring and life-transforming audio messages from our church book stand located in the church premises or through our website, www.pdconline247.com. Furthermore, our church activity schedule is as follows. Monday and Thursday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. counseling. Wednesday, 6 p.m. School of Wisdom. Friday, 6 p.m. prayer meeting. Sunday, 8 a.m. lifting service. If you would like to reach us via call, our helplines are 080-3389-0315 and 080-6935-5639. God bless you.